You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Almost time. Spring training is, inches away. We're talking Reds baseball today. I'm Dave Raymond with Mark Sheldon of Reds.com. And Mark, we look at the offseason for the Cincinnati Reds. And if you want to evaluate the offseason, this is the rebuild. So I don't know if we look first at who was dealt and not dealt, or who they got or were trying to get. Where do you go with this?
Well, I'm sure if you're the Reds, you want to look forward and not back. Of course, fans and myself, even with media, you can't help but look at the fact that they've given up the best closer they've ever had in Aroldis Chapman and a really good third baseman, Todd Frazier. So those guys are gone, and they got prospects in return, and whose value or whose strengths have yet to be seen, just because they're new or they're unproven. So it'll be to evaluate these deals, it's almost like you have to watch it on the field.
Well, and it's going to be impossible, really. I mean, we can throw an opinion out there on, how do they do in the Frazier deal, or how do they do in the Chapman trade? The reality is, we won't know, and we might not know even next summer. I mean, it can be a while until some of these guys mature enough or have the opportunities to know whether or not they're really going to make it, right?
That's correct. I mean, especially with the Chapman trade, because of all the exterior issues that were going around as far as the allegations of domestic abuse and things like that, they may not have gotten the value they would have gotten for him had that not happened, or if they had traded him during the season. So they like a couple of the guys they got in that trade. They like a couple of the guys they got in the Frazier trade, and we'll see how it goes. It's just it really was a different offseason, because usually for the Reds, when they're looking at contending and they're aiming at winning the NL Central, it's always about adding that missing piece that will put them over the top. And a lot of times it's a left fielder, like it was last winter for Marlon Byrd, and they were hoping that guy would take them where they want to go. And this year it's more about taking them to the future.
Well, I mean, staying on the Chapman thing, a lot of ways, I thought it was pretty incredible that they were able to get it done, right? That they were, they had it done, and then the allegations came out. It blew up the deal with the Dodgers. That the Yankees were able to come swooping in and make a deal. I just feel like from a Reds standpoint, he was a guy who needed to be moved. You don't know how much more trouble is waiting to surround him, quite honestly. I think just getting out from underneath the whole Chapman story was a victory in a way.
It is and it isn't. I mean, he ended up not being charged with the crime. He's still awaiting discipline from Major League Baseball once they complete their investigation. So we'll see how that turns out. He might get suspended. But you just wonder, with that trade, you just kind of wonder what if they were able to find a match during the season, whether it was with the Yankees, the Astros, the Diamondbacks, the whoever, during July 31st, and you kind of wonder what that haul would have been as opposed to what they ended up getting. And they got a couple of good guys. I mean, Rookie Davis and Eric DeGuilo are the two kind of top prospects of that trade. They have a lot of promise. And again, in a couple of years, we'll know if that trade, if they got enough for Chapman. It's just with Chapman, it's just a hard thing to evaluate, because he is such a unique talent. There's not a lot of closers that do what he does and has the strikeout rate that he brings. So it's difficult to rate that trade like any other trade, just because there's no way they were going to get that kind of talent in return, no matter when they made that trade. But you kind of wonder what could have been if it happened a different time.
All right. Well, Todd Frazier, that's a three-team deal, but they ended up getting four players back, right? So in just terms of quantity, and I've seen these before, where sometimes teams, obviously you want to get the best prospects you can, but sometimes just quantity can make a huge difference, right? And four, getting four guys back for Frazier, what do you know? Is there a feeling internally that they did pretty well on this one?
They were pretty happy with that trade. They got what they viewed as a very high prospect in Jose Peraza, and they're pretty happy with him. He's a guy that kind of represents the potential future, leadoff guy It's actually, they got three players in that trade.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Brandon Dixon and Scott Schebler and Jose Peraza for Todd Frazier. And, you know, he's a guy that can be the second baseman of the future if they can figure out what happens with Brandon Phillips. He could play center field. He could play shortstop, his natural position, when he was with the Braves organization. So he doesn't hit for power, but he does hit. And he's a 300-hitter lifetime in the minors, and he can steal some bases. So that's a lot of promise. They're pretty happy with Schebler, who's a left-handed hitter, kind of a corner outfielder. And they have an opening in left field. So if he was able to step up and be that guy, they would be pretty pleased with that. And yeah, so if what they really wanted to set out to do is rebuild their minor league system. They had kind of used it up pretty good to make some trades when they were contending. The Matt Latos trade was a particular one where they sent three young guys and Edinson Volquez to San Diego to get Latos. And they've made a couple of other deals that are similar to get in, you know, to get guys they needed when they needed them for contending. And then once that kind of hurt their system this year, they got a little exposed. They didn't have a lot of guys to bring up from AAA when things went south this year. So they really kind of aimed at, you know, during the summer, they worked on the pitching staff and the trades for Cueto and Leak, and then and Bird. And then in the draft, they did that. And then also in this winter, they really wanted to stock up on young position players.
I need to apologize too, Mark. My math is so terrible. You know, you work three teams in a deal, and I'm going to get terribly confused tonight.
I wish they got four players.
I'd say it's spring training for all of us, but we're still a week away from that. But you know, the Frazier deal, and you bring up Jose Peraza, obviously the big piece of that, which then I guess leads us to the trade that wasn't made, right? The deal that hasn't been done, and that's Brandon Phillips. And to me, there's really the I don't know what the word I want to use here. The disappointment of the offseason, the frustration of this offseason. Yeah, he needs to be moved, and that needs to be a part of their rebuild, but they're just having a heck of a time getting that done.
Yeah. The Cincinnati Inquirer had reported that one of the caravan stops at Walt Jocketty said there was even a second possible trade that Phillips had mixed. It was to Arizona, which I guess was probably the trade that for Aaron Hill that the Brewers ended up pulling off a week or two ago. For Segura. So yeah, that's between that and Washington, which didn't happen, is the mystery. I don't know if we'll ever know from Phillips or if he'll articulate why he decided to turn those trades down. It sounded like a lot of it was contractual, that he really wanted to be compensated for waiving his 10-5 rights, which is certainly within his parameters or his purview. But as far as the Reds' point of view is, it kind of does stall a little bit, at least that one spot, a chance to look ahead. They're going to kind of have to spend the next at least 2 years with Phillips, and while he'll be a definitely a valuable player for that position, he's a good second baseman still. He's not what he once was, but he's still very good. He came back last year and had a nice season offensively too. But if you're trying to rebuild and there's no chance he's going to be here after that contract is over when they're ready to compete again, it doesn't really serve the Reds' purposes too well. So kind of see what happens with him. It'll be interesting how that goes down. Brian Price said that even though Peraza's here, that he expects Phillips to be a second baseman regularly.
So as we kind of wrap up our look at this offseason, we've covered in depth these last several months what they've been trying to accomplish. And, you know, in terms of building the team for this year, in terms of addressing anything that needs addressing for this year, and they're going to lose some games, what do they still need to do? What areas maybe kind of went unaddressed or maybe not quite completed yet?
Well, they didn't really do anything with their bullpen very much. You know, they lost Chapman. The bullpen leading up to Chapman was a big problem last year. Partly because the rotation wasn't able to work deep enough, it just kind of became a rolling stone of issues. It just couldn't get out from underneath some of the struggles they had, and that wasn't really addressed this offseason. That's something they could still address between now and the opening of camp next week, just because there's so many free agents out there looking for jobs that maybe they can get a guy on a relatively, you know, cost friendly deal. But that's something they need to really work on. I think a part of that will come out in the rotation battle is that some of these young pitchers they have, whether it's Brendan Finnegan or Michael Lorenzen or, you know, Robert Stevenson, some of those guys that don't make it in the rotation could go in the bullpen and be valued guys there and be power arms. And that could help in some degree. And they could get some big league exposure while they're still developing. So I would say that's one area. And another area is kind of iffy right now is really the manager's job. Brian Price is going to be doing all this under the last year of his contract. So, it's going to be interesting to see how the Reds kind of evaluate him, knowing that they haven't given him the cards to contend in the division. So I'll be curious to see what they view as progress and quality while he's working under a very, odd circumstance as far as being, in the last year of a contract and a rebuilding team. So I know they have his, he's got the club support in this winter. They move quickly to say that he was back as manager. They've changed some coaches. They brought in a new pitching coach from within the system, Mark Riggins, who's got some big league experience. They just added Lou Piniella as an advisor, and Price was Piniella's pitching coach in Seattle about 15 years ago. So I think they are kind of shoring up the coaching staff as well and the managerial side. So I think they'll be it'll be interesting to watch that this coming season as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, plenty of challenges still lie ahead for this Reds team, but it is interesting. I mean, it's almost, it's fascinating, really, to see teams go through this and see how they fare. And a week from now, as you mentioned, Mark, we'll actually get to start seeing it play out on the field as they mix everything together and see what we got. I'm looking forward to hearing the very beginnings of how that goes when we talk again next week.
Yeah, it all really gets going on Tuesday when the trucks get packed up for a good year. So the first signs of spring are showing up this week. And then, of course, it starts real next week.
Analyze the long trip from there. All right, Mark Sheldon, MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Reds edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.